Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a look at Guidant, a portfolio company of Tech Capital. We are going to be joined by Harold Braun. Harold's been on the podcast a number of times over the last year, most recently at the beginning of this year. And at that point in time, we said that we'd be welcoming Harold back to update us on the recent developments, and indeed there have been a number of recent developments at Guidant that we're going to be discussing today. So Harold, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello Jonathan, good to be back with you again. Happy to provide an update today.
Yes, we've got quite a substantial update. Indeed, there was two, I believe, releases from Tech Capital updating on what's been happening at Guidant recently. So we're going to be going into those in some detail and what they mean for the company. But before we get started, Harold, for those people that are listening to this that aren't aware of Guidant, please would you be able to give us an introduction, first of all, to yourself as well as Guidant, please?
Yeah, thank you very much, Jonathan. Yeah, myself, Harold Braun. I was previously the president and CEO of Siemens Communication here in the US, and also the president and CEO of a public traded company, Aviat Networks, on the mobile backhaul side. And we created a company in 2019, Guidant, focusing on software development to make the autonomous vehicle industry, or vehicles actually, safer. That's how we started. And as I mentioned, we are in the business since 2019. And making big progress during the last couple of years. And I'm happy to provide an update on our recent progress and projects.
Thank you. So we had one out last week on your partnership with OVTech. And that's where we're going to start today, Harold. So this is an expansion of an already established strategic partnership that you have with the company. They're a leader in autonomous shuttles. What does this expansion look like, Harold? And what were the main points to take away from your new relationship and what that's going to look like going forward?
Right. We expand the relationship. We started more than a year ago when we visited OVTech in Estonia. And we were actually very impressed by this. And again, Estonia, small country, highest digital development, by the way, country in Europe, and 95%+ on their interactions with their population is digital. Everybody is very highly commenting on them. We visited them, and then we saw also that they have an autonomous vehicle shuttle called Mika, and they sold this Mika product to Japan, one of the biggest autonomous automotive countries in the world. And in the meantime, they have about 20 of those vehicles there deployed. And we were very interested in this. And we were actually amazed about their technology and how it actually progressed and it was functioning. And then we started to do a kind of a technology discussion on that, how we could integrate our software. And we were suddenly very convinced, all of us, that that would be a good thing to get actually the Mika vehicle over here to the US, do a market entry in the US, and then also integrate our software stack on top of their autonomous vehicle stack. So that is the extension of it, that we first of all brought the vehicle over here. It's now here since almost a week. And we are in full swing of integrating our software on top of their, EV stack, as I mentioned. And actually, this afternoon, we have one of the biggest autonomous vehicles operator in the U.S. visiting us already, checking out that vehicle. So the expansion is, in principle, import the vehicle, made sure that we have also the approval from NHTSA, the National Highway Safety Administration from the US, ship it over here, receive it, and then put our software on it, and then do a market introduction here in the US. So that's the expansion from our relationship. And actually, I have to say partnership, strategic partnership. And we're trying to conquer then the American market, or I would even say the Americas market.
So you mentioned there, of course, OviTech are a global company. They've had deployments in Japan and they've just come into the US through a strategic partnership with yourself. But where could this go for a Guidant and OviTech? What does the scalability look like for this relationship? I mean, is there the possibility for Guidant to be working with OviTech in more jurisdictions, maybe different types of vehicles apart from the Mika? Where does this go from here?
Yeah, so for now, OviTech has just this one vehicle, the Mika. And what we see here is that we propose this vehicle in integrated with our software, with our teleoperation software, into the market. As you might know, we have seen a lot of failures going from these autonomous shuttles into several markets in the world, and some of this company went bankrupt and didn't continue the development and also the deployment of such vehicles, because it is very clear that the quantity of those vehicles right now are not in the millions, right? So it is very early for companies to invest in there, because there might be only 1,000, 10,000, maybe 100,000 of these vehicles produced, and the big companies have no interest in this right now because it's too small. But some visionary companies say, okay, that will be a part of the future. We are investing in that. We're making an Level 4 autonomous vehicle shuttle available, and we invest in that. That is what OviTech is doing, and of course we have also other entries in the market there. And as I mentioned many times in the podcast before, we are vehicle agnostic. That means we can put our software into any of the autonomous vehicle transportation providers, any Level 4 or even lower levels, we can integrate our software. So what that means for us is we can address now an alternative to vehicles which had some troubles, or companies which had some troubles in the past, and we are a solid alternative for those vehicle operators or customers here in the US, in Canada, and into also South America.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Harold. So you mentioned there that Guidant as a company are vehicle agnostic, and that ties in very nicely with the next announcement that we're going to discuss now, which was made earlier on this week. And to some extent, slightly out of the blue, although you have on the podcast alluded to Guidant being vehicle agnostic and spoken about the broad range of applications, but it's a new agreement, a new partnership with Star Robotics.
Yeah.
Harold, what does that look like?
Yes, that's a very interesting one, because as you know, a robot, in this case, a robot which you could see in the announcement with the picture, is in principle a vehicle. And in this case, it is also an autonomous vehicle. So the guiding principle was, you know, when you have an autonomous vehicle, they have different use cases. When I saw a couple of months ago in a kind of an experiment with a well-known computer company, basing or putting security cameras stationary somewhere on, and I asked them to put it on our autonomous vehicle, they were looking at me like deer in the headlights. And why would we do that, was the answer. I said, why would we do that? Because I don't want to have security cameras stationary. I want security cameras to move. And then I saw how they dropped their jars. right? And were absolutely fantastic idea. I said, yeah, we have autonomy. We have a robot. It can drive, so to say. It can move. And why don't you put a security camera on it, have make sure that it's autonomous, that it can not only see, that it can smell, that it can hear, and it can go into areas 24/7, 365, around plantations or utility companies or even dangerous areas where you don't want to have security people to enter. So we evaluated the market and then found Star Robotics. And we worked with them and say, okay, we can actually take that device, this robot, and put our teleoperation software in it. So we worked together on this. Now we have an autonomous surveillance security robots with teleoperation capabilities. So to say, a human in the loop, which can be an alternative for your security people, right? So, and that's what we showed, that what we're doing. We have a robot here in the US in our facilities. We're showing it also this afternoon already. So the integration is going wonderfully. Again, that underpins our agnostic topic, right? And so we have now a security camera which can move. And this is already deployed in several companies in Europe. Star Robotics is a Spanish company, and it's already deployed in several companies and utility companies, by the way, in Europe. And we are entering the US market. And I see a very, very good response to this because people see that this device can be really an alternative or a supplement to security companies to have this kind of device helping them and be a part of their fleet.
Thank you, Harold. So just the final point here on the application, because I think this is something that people listening to this will be particularly interested in. Of course, at the beginning, we spoke about OviTech's Mica shuttles, Star Robotics with the WatchBot for surveillance, two very different vehicles. And of course, we've said that you're vehicle agnostic. But I think people listening to this would be particularly interested to know if there are, and whether you can divulge this at this point in time. You know, are there any other discussions going on? Are there any other types of vehicles that you're looking at where you could see some progress in the very near future?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have to say, even these are different use cases, right? You have the autonomous shuttle with the Mica, which is in principle an autonomous transportation shuttle, right? Transporting people from A to B to C and whatever in three areas, which we defined, geofenced area, fixed routes, and low speed, right? So this shuttles are acting there, and that is also the low-hanging fruit where customers are actually going into. Therefore, it is important that we focus on this kind of use case, public autonomous transportation shuttles. On the watchdog side or watchbot side, it is like a similar platform. It's autonomy, right? It's a vehicle. I see a robot also as a vehicle, right? And so that means the underlying technology is similar because it's autonomy, it's autonomous. And now you can say, what else? And we have this famous picture where our RCO, our remote control operators, sits in the remote control center, right? And have different vehicles to observe or to watch, to monitor and take control over it in case they are in trouble. That means we do that on a watchbot, we do that on a transportation shuttle, but we can do it also on a delivery device, which is another use case, right? On trucks, transportation, cargo transportation, mining would be another kind of vehicle where your service is good. Agriculture is another industry segment where you can put these devices or our solutions in. Drones can use our teleoperation with different use cases as well. So since the technology gets now much, much smaller And the most of the solution is actually software. I would say 70-30, 70% software, 30% hardware. And the hardware gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So there are many, many use cases. The underlying structure is autonomy and teleoperation. This is, and I would say even teleassist. Sometimes you don't need a teleoperator to take control over the vehicle. The software can actually manage that, and we can do teleassist and teleoperation as well. So that is the that are the possible use cases.
So Harold, we're well past validation with Guidant now in terms of the market validation. There is commercial traction. I think it would be good if we could explore what this means for Guidant in terms of the business model and operationally going forward. Of course, there's just two partners here that we've discussed. But in terms of Guidant as a company, what does it look like in terms of the operations on the ground? I understand you have coming up very shortly, later on this month, the grand opening of a new headquarters in Boca Raton. So it'd be good if you could speak about that. But in terms also of the business model, the revenue generation model, what does this look like? Of course, these are fantastic partnerships, but I'm sure people listening to this will be interested to know what does that mean for Guidant going forward in terms of your business?
Yeah, so our partnerships actually had also an impact on our go-to-market strategy. So this is not our only partnership, as you see also in our website. So we have partnerships also with Perrone Robotics. We have partnership with Adastec, now, of course, with Ovitech, then with Star Robotics and others to come. That underpins, again, our point that we are agnostic. But why is it a different sales model or go-to-market model? So we started with a direct sales model. That means we are going direct to the customer and propose our opportunity, propose our solution, and we generated some traction there. But when you are a small startup company, you focus most of your efforts on product development. And then, of course, you need also to do business development and you need to do sales. You need to close deals, correct? So that means we did that in a direct sales model in the beginning. And we were successful with that, as you see with our first customer generation. And we have other in the pipeline. And we have also made some announcement with LOIs. And then, but with some partners, the business model changed actually to a more growth-related business model where we do a direct sales model. We go in direct to the customer and change it, or not only change it, put another sales model on top of it, which is an indirect sales model, meaning our partners like Ovitech can use our technology and go to their customers. That means that vehicle would have an integrated teleoperation functionality, and Adastec in this case, Ovitech would go to the customer they have with our integrated model. The same would be possible for Perrone Robotics. The same is possible for Adastec. The same is possible for Star Robotics. So that is an indirect sales model that is actually then something where we use their sales channels to provide our technology. So we have now both opportunities in the go-to-market, a direct and an indirect sales model. And then, of course, that is very important to scale and to grow faster.
So moving on now, Harold, we've learned very recently in a discussion with Tech Capital's CEO, Dr. Clifford Gross, that Guidant have engaged a US investment bank and are seeking a funding round in the US. We're not going to ask how that is going specifically because, of course, those talks will be confidential. But I've got a question here, and I think this will be particularly interesting for listeners. As you're speaking to investors, and you know, you've probably been doing this for some time, when you're speaking to them, what's the feedback that you're getting from them? What are they most excited about at the moment?
Yeah, so first of all, this is correct. So we have engaged in an investment bank, and I'm having a lot of discussions with possible investors. And this is going well, and there's weekly interaction from me with different companies. And of course, as you mentioned, it's a confidential how we are tracking here. But the most interest is in how is the market adoption? What are your biggest challenges, right? And what are the industry segments I just laid out earlier, right? So what most attracts them is they are convinced that it is the right direction, that there will be autonomous vehicles on our street. Autonomous vehicles will be deployed in different areas, whether these are in these areas on trucks, buses, mining, hospitality, residential areas, university campuses, business campuses, and so on and so forth, right? The vehicles are there, the technology is there, they are convinced about that, and they are really convinced that that this approach of a human in the loop, while you have nobody or no driver in the vehicle, that is the right approach. That is another level of security, that you have a tailor assist and also a tailor operation possibility in that vehicle as another level of safety. This is all the time digging deeper into that, and that is what most of them like the most. Of course, there are challenges here and there, right? How fast is the market growing? When it is exploding? When is that time? You know, and. But I think the most attractive is, wow, you can actually engage with the vehicle and control it. And when you show them then that we can do that actually in a demo, then it is all the time a wow effect. That's what they like. The second one they like is that we address many, many industry segments. So it's not just one industry segment, which we can address, like the public transportation services. As I mentioned, it is also delivery services, it's also mining, it's hospitality, it's agriculture, and I'm repeating myself, we have selected 11 possible industry segments where our solution could work. When I mentioned this, when it comes to the challenges, and I wanted to say that here again, the challenge is not the technology, mostly software. You can do everything with software. And it's not the hardware. The biggest challenge is the mindset of people, because people still think that autonomous vehicles are not safe. That's our biggest challenge in the industry. And most of the people who say that and almost dramatically opposed to this, when you ask them whether they did actually experience one of the autonomous vehicles or transportation services, the answer is no. So they jump to a conclusion while have not actually experienced it. And that, of course, is, this is life, I guess. So we have to have an educational approach as well, to show to as many as possible people that autonomous vehicles are safe, and that we also, on top of it, put also a human in the loop.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much, Harold. So we were speaking just before we started recording, and of course, very recently, Guidance spun out the regenerative shock absorber technology into a new company called Revive. But we're actually going to arrange a separate podcast, because that would warrant a completely different conversation. So we're going to be doing that at some point in the not too distant future. But to finish off now for Guidance, Harold, you know, people listening to this, looking at the company, what would you say to them is on the immediate horizon for the company? You know, what can people expect to see from guidance coming out in the next few months?
So on one side, we need to get into market with this now two solutions we have. Again, I wanted to make very clear, this is not a pivot to something else, to robotics. No. This is an additional use case based on autonomy, right? So I make that very clear. So we need to go to market now. The next big thing is to see that we integrate the solutions, that the solutions are working together flawlessly, that we address as many as possible opportunities with customers, which we have a good pipeline, solid pipeline, that we have to close customers down the road and generate a revenue. That is, of course, the number one task. Second one is to push innovation further, meaning we have to focus, and we have bi-weekly roadmap meetings to see what is actually on the list of functionalities to do based on feedback from the customer, based on market trends, and based on our ideas to innovate. And that is the second biggest portion of creating a roadmap for the long term and execute the software development on this. And by the way, I need to talk to you about that as well. In June, we have a big presentation. As you know, we are the only company right now that has three ways of connectivity to the autonomous vehicle. Number one, the public mobile network. Number two, the private mobile network. And now number three, satellite communication. As you know, we won a grant from Space Florida together with an Israeli company, and we are 95% done with the development. We are having now interactions with this satellite provider, and we have the software 95% done. And in June, we're making a presentation. So that means we have three ways of connectivity to an autonomous vehicle. So that was actually an innovation, which was actually also recognized to be worthwhile and a grant. It's fantastic. So we're pushing innovation. This is the third portion of it to go together with the roadmap. We need to push, we need to innovate the industry. So that's what you can look out for. And number four, we are going to push forward to new partnerships, more new strategic partnerships addressing all the different use cases we see.
Harold, as always, it was a pleasure. Very fascinating conversation. And as I said, we're going to be lining up another podcast in the not too distant future to delve into Revive. And I'm sure there's going to be more to hear from Guidant to that point. So, Harold, thank you very much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. As always, very interesting to talk to you. Thank you.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.